Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
All the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
I know you're a little bit busy and occupied at the moment, finishing up our special indie horror spotlight review a little bit later. But how you been?
Busy.
Busy, yeah. I know how that feels. That's one thing I've been doing this whole week has been busy, and the weather and the rain and it's just everything, not knowing what exactly the day is going to be. You start out one way and it goes the opposite, and it's just it's crazy. But we're here, and I do have a little interesting story with Underwater when we get into when I get into that here in a little second. But yeah, we got two. It's a monster feature, creature feature, double review. We're actually probably going to do a longer show, but we'll see. I might be able to get through Underwater a little bit quicker and talk about our indie spotlight a little bit more. But yeah, we got two. One, again, we always do this every now and then. We have our big Hollywood creature feature and then our small independent indie horror feature. Both interesting in their own right. Of course, the first film is our big Hollywood film called Underwater, and I was looking forward to this one when I watched the trailer, you know, because it's set in underwater about this aquatic, you know, researchers and this drill and, you know, in the darkness of the, you know, dark depths, and there's creatures attacking them, and, you know, this rig that they're in, you know, it slowly gets filled with, you know, breaks down, and they have to go for help or try to survive while being attacked by this unseen force. And the funny thing is, this doesn't happen too often, but when it does, it's always for something interesting. The last time I remember something like this happening was way back when The Perfect Storm came out, and I was at the drive-in, and it was just, you know, like how the movie started. Like, it was a normal day, it was bright and sunny, and then the movie started, you know, the first movie ended, and then the second movie started, which was The Perfect Storm, and then this fucking hellacious thunder and lightning and rainstorm just came, and here we are watching a movie about a boat in the middle of the water and all this rain, and here we are sitting in the drive-in and all this rain's pouring down on us. it was interesting, I'll say that. And the same thing happened here with Underwater, where we got about 35 minutes, maybe 40 minutes into the movie, and then this rainstorm came out of nowhere outside, and like the water's leaking and all that stuff in the movie, and the it is happening outside, and it causes the power to go out. So it was interesting to watch a movie about being trapped underwater, trying to survive all this, you know, water rising up in this research bay, and you're hearing water and all that surround you hitting the roof of the theater and the exit door. The water's pouring in through there, and it was an interesting little thing. Like, it took forever for them to fix it, like 25 minutes. So here we are in the dark for 25 minutes waiting for them to fix everything. But we finished it. But it was, you know, one of those little experiences that happens every so often. But Underwater, it starts out. The one thing I liked about this movie is, like, it starts right off the bat. We're introduced to Kristen Stewart's character. Her name's Nora, and she's this engineer. I guess she's an engineer, but she knows, like, she's like the captain's, you know, secondhand person. She's like the second of command, almost, in a sense, where he throws ideas to her. And basically, the research station, it's this big giant drill. I forgot the name of the station. But it was it starts to go down, and water and starts pouring in, and all these certain bays and everything starts happening. And here Nora starts finding people of the crew and trying to save them, rescue them, and then finally they all meet up in certain part of the facility, and they have to basically escape this this facility, and they decide, we have to get out of here. We have to go down to another base, another research base that is farther down into the into the darkness, basically. And so we have them leaving, and then we have the captain, played by Vincent Castle. Vincent Cazell, who's great. If you haven't seen Satan, it's a great movie, really fun movie, that he plays a pretty interesting character. He's pretty by the numbers in this one. But they have to leave this facility and go down, and things start to happen, and then they find out they start getting attacked by these unknown creatures in the night, and that's where I'll say that I don't want to give too much else away. So it's them trying to go to this another facility. They're getting attacked by creatures. And overall, I dug the movie, honestly. It's a pretty fun, entertaining little movie. It's like 90 minutes. It's in and out. And it's just it's like a film out of time, in a sense. Like, this is one of those films that would come out like during the 90s. This is like Deep Star 6, Deep Rising, in a sense. So it's just those underwater creature features, Leviathan, stuff like that. And I even got a little bit of Pitch Black in there, even though it's different. But this one felt more Pitch Black than it did, like, most of the other films, like Proteus or stuff like that. But I dug it. I mean, the creatures, without giving too much away, the one creatures that are attacking them or stalking them is, like, a very small sort of, like, Cloverfield-type monster. But they're like very small versions. And then I don't want to give anything else away. There's not only just the one monster, all right? There is a little bit of a Cloverfield comparison there, not just because of the way that the small creatures look. I mean, there's a certain scene later on towards the end. There's a reveal that kind of harkens back to Cloverfield. So it's not original. It's just one of those films that just, again, like I said, staple of the 90s, late 80s, just monster movies where people are in a situation they have to get out of it. And I dug it. I mean, there's like a couple parts in the film where I didn't feel like was necessary. There's this voiceover from Kristen Stewart at the beginning and at the very end, I didn't think was necessary. The creatures themselves and what happens, you know, when they show up, it's pretty fun. It's not exactly a bloody film, but there is some blood. There's some decent stuff. And then, yeah, the monster effects, they do good because they try to make it dark and murky to keep the creatures, you know, at bay. So, you can barely make out what they look like with doing, you know, decent jobs there. And then they finally do the reveal of some of them. And they do some pretty good job with it. Like I said, it's like how life was a few years back, the one in space. It's like sort of similar to that in a sense. Where you got to get out and you got to try to survive this while fighting off this creature in this, you know, shuttle. So this is like, honestly, like I said, it's like the reverse Pitch Black. Instead of being on a moon in the darkness, you're undersea in the darkness and you can't see when they're coming to get you. It's like very, very similar to the Pitch Black. I got a very strong Pitch Black vibe more than I did a lot of other films. Kristen Stewart, all the actors did great. It's just a popcorn flick, honestly. This is like, just turn your brain off. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here that doesn't make sense, you know, with, computers and all the equipment and, like, being able to show, make monitors of, all the creatures on the screen. Like, why would they have creatures on the screen? You know, so there's some, things that don't make sense. But it plays out pretty much how you would expect it to go. Nothing really, you know, groundbreaking. But for what it was fun and it was fine. And I did enjoy it. And it was just stupid fun. No scares, nothing like that. It's just, you know, a fun little monster movie. Nothing really practical. It was all CG, but... it was fine. I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, you can't really do, you know, like practical stuff underwater that much. Sometimes you can. I mean, there's like hypothermia, but the monster looked really campy in that one. But nonetheless, overall, the film, I really enjoyed it. And I do suggest going to see it. It's way better than The Grudge. I mean, if you had to get Grudge out of the way to get through this stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just fun. Like, they have to go through there, and, of course, you have, people getting attacked, and, some things change, and, sacrifices are made, usual fare. But, like I said, it's just, it's a film out of time. You know, it's that 90s direct-to-video trash that's, you know, enjoyable, you know? And I didn't have a few minor qualms here and there with a few things, but it's by the numbers, it's fun. It's just a mindless monster movie, and it kind of ends abruptly a little bit, but nonetheless, it made sense. I mean, you don't want to stay your welcome. I just the voiceover at the beginning and at the end was kind of unwarranted. I didn't really feel like it needed that. But nonetheless, it was still a fun little movie. So, Ian, what's your thoughts on
It definitely
my
sounds
take
like a movie I'd be interested in seeing. For some reason, that movie isn't in the theater that's by my house because I went by there the other day to try to watch that movie. Yet again, nothing was there. So I was kind of upset. But it's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get The Lighthouse the week of, and I have to wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks, no, 2 months later to see it at mine. But I can get Underwater at my go-to, and you have to wait forever. It's the weirdest thing.
Oh, I mean, we have tons of craft beers and bars and everything like that around this area. So Lighthouse is definitely going to hit that theater than would. It's just the only theater I can walk to, so.
Yeah.
And if I can't walk to it, I usually try not to go. But no, I mean, I'm, you know, looking forward to this movie. I've been looking forward to it since, you know, the trailer dropped, so. And, yeah. Definitely,
yeah, I mean, it's fun.
Drugs,
I mean, it's what you would want out of a creature feature. I mean, it's nothing, you know, like I said, it's not spectacular, but it's a fun fun little watch. I mean, there's a few qualms here and there with the one couple where I kind of just like, oh God, they're going to go this angle, and they do. But it's not too bad. I mean, it just plays out like a normal monster movie would from that era of the 90s. And it's just, again, just the film out of time. And I like that about it. And, again, it has its problems, but it also has its fun moments and, you know, some good reveals. And once that one reveal happens, you know, the bigger reveal, that is, it's pretty fun, you know, when that thing shows up. I don't want to give it away. But there's something bigger than what you see. And it's just fun, you know. It's just like when that happens towards the end, like, yeah, now it's entertaining. And that's what you'd want. You just want a mindless monster movie. And that's what I think is missing. And I'm looking forward, you know, like I said, when we started doing the show, like, we need more monster movies. And finally, they're slowly starting to creep back into theaters, and I'm so happy just to see, you know, just stupid monster movies. And, like, again, this one's not perfect. Like I said, I'm repeating myself. But if you like that genre of, you know, that late 80s, you know, Leviathan, Deep Star 6, Proteus, I'm trying to think, like, Creature, even though I think that one's in space, but that might be underwater. Just like those creature features from that time. This has, you know, Deep Rising, a lot of Deep Rising, again, Pitch Black. It just has that feel to it, and it's just it's fun if you like that genre of movie, and I do recommend it. But yeah, I don't really want to give too much away because I want people to go see it. So I do suggest. I mean, it didn't do well. It made like around eight million, which again, it's, you know, about normal. Even though it's sad that Grudge made more than this, but of course Grudge had a, you know, namesake to it, you know, attached to it, all this, you know, oh, it's a reboot, it's R-rated, you know, this one's PG-13, but this one's a far better movie. And there's some good shots too, and like they use the cameras inside the suits, like in the helmet and stuff. So they do well for what they're trying to accomplish, and I had fun with. Like, again, it starts out like this disaster movie, right, with them trying to escape the facility, and then it slowly dwindles into a creature feature, and that was fun. When that happens, when it's just like, oh, here's a, you know, starts one way and then it goes another, and it's just, again, I had fun with it. I think, you know, just turn your mind off. I mean, this is one like I can. You know, like, oh, usually it's like, oh, turn your mind off and whatever. Like, this one, I'm perfectly fine with it because there's, you know, I like that genre of stuff, and I might be a little biased. But, you know, I had fun with it, and I think, it, you know, someone else will, you know, as you as well, you know, I think you'll enjoy it. And, you know, like, again, everything, it was fun. I mean, I can't, like I said, it had maybe a little bit of a slow moment towards before the big reveal. Between Kristen Stewart's character and the one girl with the couple of the girl and the couple, and they start talking about random stuff. I'm like, oh my God, this is dumb, because they just kind of force that in there, really. Even though it's kind of rampant throughout, but it's just a little heavy-handed in that particular section. People come and go, it was fun. I had fun with it, and I suggest checking it out. So yeah, that's the review of Underwater. And our next film is our Indie Horror Spotlight, and this one just happened to come across our path. Ian contacted the director, and there might be a possible interview next week. Looking forward to that, and I'll be able to do more information and details once. Yeah, it's been a while. So I'm working on that, but I'm pretty sure next week we'll have the director on. But first, we got to review the film, and that is of Shed. And actually, there's two films called Shed that came out last year. And I guess this one came out this year. I don't know. It's iffy. But Shed, The Shed, one's about a vampire in a shed. This one's about skin-stealing monster in a shed. So it's very ends of the spectrum here. But yeah, both of them about, you know, technically monsters in a shed. Shed is, it's an interesting one. It takes place on Halloween because there's this Halloween party going on at this old man Mike, and he's dressed up as Santa. Basically, he looks like Santa, and he's having this Halloween party out in his cabin, middle of the woods, just middle of nowhere. And he has all, you know, like, I guess, friends coming over to party. And every year he tells this story about this skin-stealing monster and love and what you would do if this would happen and that would happen and the ins and outs of, you know, what's right and what's wrong and stuff like that. And he has a shed not far from his house, his cabin. I guess it's like two sheds, really. One's just it's like a man cave almost. It's like a garage in a sense, because it has a bar and has like a pool table. And it's just a very small place. And then the shed, which he puts a keep out sign. And a lot of people, some people just don't listen. And Brad is the first one. I think he had Kaylee is another one. And like, honestly, some of the characters, I mean, there's a lot of sort of character development, but I felt like some of the character plot points were kind of mishandled a little bit. Like, it's just like here and there, because like, I know, I think it starts out with like him looking over a grave, and for a while there, I didn't know, because there's like this dialogue happening between two girls, and I was like, okay, is this now or later? And then like it kind of gets revealed in dialogue that his father passed away, but again, you don't know that until very later on. And then like apparently like he's like in this threesome or something with the Kaylee and another girl, maybe. Like I said, it's very it gets a little messy in some parts of the film, anyway, Brad goes into the cabin with Kaylee. Well, Kaylee's outside, and then basically what happens inside the shed, he goes into the shed, the keep-out shed, and we find that there's a skin-stealing monster, a female monster, that kills him and then takes his skin and wears it. And, I mean, I don't think it's really a spoiler to say what the monster, the skin-stealing monster looks like. Basically, it's a person painted red and black in a sense, but you know, very sort of flame, sort of, you know, like a tribesman almost. When you know, just think of the I don't want to say it in a bad way. I'm just trying to pinpoint like how to explain how the creature looks. It's just like, again, think of the Red Lady in Green Inferno, or just like one of those people, and just like black lines and like sort of like a tiger or leopard in a sense. Not a leopard, jaguar. Yeah. But yeah, just it's a person painted black and red, lines, stripes all over their body, naked, bald. So it's very, you know, basic. It's not, you know, super creature feature like, say, an underwater or a practical monster suit. It's just a normal person. And they've been alive, these monsters have been alive for millennia. Basically, when God was making Adam and Eve, the devil was making them. And so they've been, you know, alive for a long time, and they've been watching humans and watching the rise and fall. And so this girl, her name is Una, and she's the one that steals Brad's skin. And Brad goes back to the, you know, like she takes over his body, and she is, you know, goes back to the party, and then like things start to happen. And it just turns out into sort of a, not really a battle, but a misunderstanding of sorts between the skin-stealing monsters and the people in the at the party. And so we have a certain plot point that also gets introduced later between another a character that's very integral to the plot of the movie of love and relationships. That's like the whole thing of this movie is love, basically. Because you have like this other three people, this interracial couple, and then like, there's this black couple and they're having a menage a trois with another white girl. And so there's that thing going on. And then you have all this, each character, the one girl, she's dressed up as a nun, but she's pregnant. And like, there's a plot point with that and like how he wants, her to be safe and she stays up on the roof. And, so it's just like, it's just a revolving door of all kinds of stuff basically happens in this film. And, there's some decent effects. It's an ambitious effort. I will say that, they do what they can do with the best that they can. They do the best they can with what they have. And yeah. I thought, the first act of this movie was really good. I was really enjoying it. And I'm not saying the whole movie's bad. I'm saying there was a point where if it kept going down that route, this would have been great. But then it takes a turn, not really a bad turn. It's not really a turn in general, but it just – it's one of those where I felt that it reached its peak, like at the very sort of like first half of the movie. And then it just kind of didn't know what it wanted to do in a sense. I know that general idea of what they were trying to accomplish. I understand that. And it's not hard to see that. I just felt that there was a certain point where it just kind of went around in a circle. But Ian, I'll let you give your thoughts a little bit and then we'll go back and forth.
All right. I absolutely loved the creatures. I agree. I was very confused by a big chunk of it. Especially the opening where it was like two girls talking about like phone sex, her having phone sex, and I was just like, okay, this, I thought the guy had something to do with that, and then I was like, oh, no, and what the hell was that all about? I don't know, it was kind of, it was a little strange, the transition was, but I wasn't really, but I agree, the whole movie was definitely about love, because that's what they kept saying throughout the movie. The ending was a little lackluster, but I didn't hate it. I didn't mm-hmm. think it was like the worst thing. It was actually fairly interesting, and I think this movie would have been really, really good if it had like a little bit of a bigger budget. And
the acting and the audio problems is a big thing as well, and I'm assuming it's not. Again, that's with what you have, limitations, what you're able to do.
Exactly.
And again, I don't really, I don't judge acting anymore when it comes to indie films. But there was like, again, the acting was okay. I mean, I'm just like, some of the ADR work, again, with some, that's some technicalities I can hardly look past because it's very, very obvious. And I'm sure, again, you make do with what you have. But I felt like the creatures, having the people talk over their normal voice for the creatures instead of, like, the people that are actually the creatures talking, I felt that was kind of,
I did too.
Wasn't I thought like, yeah, I mean, yeah, the two characters or three characters that portray the monsters, you know, having the people that you know as the original voices. I mean, yeah, I understand that, but it does not look good for some characters when they do that, especially the one Kaylee, because she was of foreign descent. And she was like, I guess she was Russian or something like that, or Swedish or something. She had a very, you know, one of those accents. And it's just like having her, you know, like when she's talking and then the person that overdubbing her talking, it's not matching. And there's like some issues too where like only the skin, like if they get like shot, like only the skin is like damaged. But then, like, some of the other characters die, and they're, you know, they get shot to death, and, like, they're fine, or in a sense, like, it's just, like, it was, like, a little bit messy in, like, the way that it was trying to portray the creatures. Like, oh, I got shot to the head, but I'm not dead. But then this other person gets shot, and, like, in the stomach or stabbed, and they're dead, you know, or something like that. And just doesn't, some of it doesn't work. In a sense, like if you get shot in the head, you're going to get shot in the head.
Right.
So I have some problems there. But again, it's like whatever mythological monster lived ages and ages. So I don't know exactly the limitations that their body can take. But yeah, Ian, go. You know, give you some more thoughts on the film.
You're fine. Like, I kind of saw what was coming with the girl that was a part of the threesome.
Mm-hmm.
In the fetish community, they're called unicorns, and I forgot her name, so I'm going to call her Unicorn. That's what she was. And I thought it was, I knew what that was coming. Just because of the way everything was, like, started heading towards. I just thought it was, like, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a pointless scene because it didn't really do anything other than just, like, you know, just show that how deeply connected they were, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
All the other people, I felt nothing for them because you don't really... There wasn't much of interaction with everybody else, but it
yeah, not
like
a lot.
It
like they didn't
heavier.
Even care too. Like they didn't even really do
yeah,
that much.
It,
like oh, like there's monsters. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like oh, you rip someone's body, skin off their body, and I'm standing here and like oh, I have no reaction. You know.
Yeah. And I just felt like it kind of it just. Like it kind of felt like they were trying to make us feel something for them, but at the same time, there was, like, no, like, developed connection between all these characters because they were focusing on, like, a few characters more than the others, and I was just like, okay. That, and I liked how one of the monsters, like, killed somebody, and everybody's just like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You're part of our friend group or something.
Like, yeah, that, especially the ending. But yeah, I mean, that's like that ending. I don't know why this film came to mind, but I don't know how many people have seen it. It's called The Item, and just like it's a terrible movie. It's a god awful movie. But it's just like that. It just reminded me of like some of the interactions that happened in that movie and then the ending, not exactly the final ending of The Item, but just like
right.
Some parts of it that happened that way, just like kind of reminded me of this. It's just like, oh, I'm getting The Item vibes, and that wasn't not good. It's not a bad movie. I mean, it knows what it's trying
no,
to
it's
be.
No, it's not.
And I mean, it has issues. I mean, there's definitely some technical problems there. And I mean, he David Axe is the director, and he wrote it, he produced and edited it. He did basically everything almost. And I mean, he had an idea, and I know the idea that he's going for. I mean, this isn't one of those that's like heavy-handed, like Entrenchment was, because that one was bad. You know, that one was just like in your face. This one, it's like it's there, it's not in your face, but it's just like, you know. You know, not really a subplot, but it's just like it does. It handles it better than what it did in Entrenchment. And again, I like the idea of the monsters and the skin peeling and ripping off and changing into other people's bodies. And that could have played out a little bit more with like being unknown of like this person's that person. Is this the monster? Is this not the monster? And it's just like, oh. This is just straightforward. You know who this monster, you know who the monster is. You know, it doesn't really change anything. And then they just like come out and say it sometimes, like, "Oh, I'm a monster. I'm this person." Like they start talking, like the officer that comes in there and does her thing, his thing, and just like, oh, straight out, you know, not, you know, like you can hide it, but then just like throws that under the bus in a sense. You can just kind of. Toss it away for whatever the scene was that followed. And it's just like, again, it's not a bad movie, but it does, like I said, it hits that peak early, in my opinion. Like, once it hits, like, that 35, 40-minute mark, it was, like, really good. I really enjoyed it. I liked where it was going. And then it kind of, I'm not saying it didn't, it was still entertaining, you know, it was still decent, but it had issues, and it seemed like it just didn't know, in a sense, you know, not in a bad way. It's just like he wanted to go this route. I know, you know, and of course I'm sure there were some problems, and he wasn't able to get everything out there that he wanted to do, and I understand that. Again, it was a little bit bumpy after that 45-minute mark, and, like, the key point is there with the love and relationship and, all that stuff, and it's just getting there was a little, you know, bumpy, because you have the two creatures who are basically who love each other, and they're going back and forth. Like apparently she's not evil, but now his version's evil now. And then for some, you know, just like it was a little bit convoluted with the reasoning behind why these things were happening. Like, oh, you. Attack this person now, so we should just go ahead and murder everybody else for some reason instead of, you know, but it's a little clunky in the later half of the movie.
Yeah, I did find some people to just randomly, like, when they just up and switched out of the blue, and like, what's causing tonight to make them all crazy, like, is it just because that one person, that one creature started doing things, or is it, it just felt like there was just like a light switch that just flipped, and it was like, okay, everybody lose their shit now. And I'm like, okay, I mean, I can get behind that, but it just felt like there could have been a little bit smoother transition, but, you know, like, I really enjoyed this movie. I liked the, because I kind of got like a psychology, you know, psychological feel to it, you know, people changing, you know, you never really know somebody.
Yeah.
You don't know what kind of monster is like secretly lurking behind. I enjoyed, you know, like that. I enjoy like.
Yeah, I mean. You don't know the true monster, and, you know, it's more than, you know, just the skin. It's underneath the skin, so it's all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, like, I felt like they did a pretty decent job, you know, bringing that imagery up. And I think that it, you know, I think the director accomplished, like, quite a bit, even if it didn't hit, like, all the marks. It definitely, like,
yeah, that's why I say it's like it's very ambitious. That's why I say it's like right at the gate. It's an ambitious taking, and especially for, you know, a monster movie of this ordeal. And he had an idea, and he takes this, the love and relationships and everything that Ian just mentioned, and he takes it and he works with what he's trying to accomplish and tries to he does well. I mean, because I said it's not a bad movie. It's not one of the worst, films we've had on here. I mean, I'm bringing up Entrenchment because that one had the message too, very heavy-handed on the message, and I think this one did the whole idea better in a better take on it. And like I said, just some minor, pacing issues, some continuity problems with certain characters, and flip-flopping, and some of course technical aspects with the audio and stuff like that. Like sometimes you couldn't make out stuff, and again, that's a given. I'm not going to hearken too bad on that because there's a lot of shot on video stuff from the 90s that you can barely make out any form of words. And, some of those are classics in a sense. He does well, and I thought he did well. It's a little bumpy, a little hit and miss there, but I think he still managed to do a decent job with what he's trying to accomplish. And again, like some of the effects were good. There's some good camera work, like the very beginning with the camera going through the passenger window, showing the girl in the front, in the car seat, and then out the driver's side window in one continuous take. I thought that was, and like following her into the party, that was a good shot.
Yeah.
So there's some good shots and everything like that.
I love the skin ripping off too.
Yeah.
That was nice. I was like, ooh, I like that.
But, like I said, it has its qualms and has its, its ups and downs, like, again, most indie films do. So hopefully we'll be able to get more information and backstory and everything like that on this project, because we, hopefully, if he still wants to come on, but we give our honest opinion, and that's what, a director wants. He wants an honest opinion. And hopefully, they don't have anything bad to say about it. We gave our honest opinion, but we'll have him on, David Axe, next week, hopefully, if we work out everything. And if you want to check out or keep up to date on the movie, go to facebook.com/shedthemovie. You can also buy it. It's on Blu-ray. I think you can just type in – it's all on their Facebook page. So just if you want to buy the movie, you can buy the movie there. DVDs will be available soon, I believe. So it's just, Blu-ray at the moment. Ian, any final words?
None that I can say in a minute, though.
Well, we got a few, but then I understand. We don't need to go on. We need to pack up shop and head home. But, next week, hopefully, we'll have David Axe to talk about the film some more and see what happened, or see all the ins and outs of the making of Shed and some of the technical problems. I'm sure there's a lot of issues that he would want to discuss and ideas that he wanted to do that unable. So we'll figure that out next week. So without keeping ourselves too long going around the circle, that's going to do it for this week. Ian, as always. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.